Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for April 15th, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be talking with Anne Catherine Eisfeld and Albert de la Chapelle about a microRNA that drives acute myeloid leukemia. Acute myeloid leukemia, or AML, is a fairly rare form of cancer, but it's the most common form of leukemia that affects adults. It's characterized by the overproliferation of white blood cells in the bone marrow, which interferes with the production of normal blood cells. Although AML is fairly rare, it progresses rapidly and has a high mortality rate. Expression of the microRNA miR-3151 is associated with poor survival in AML patients. MicroRNAs are small RNAs that are not translated into proteins. Instead, they block translation of specific target proteins. They do this by binding to sequences in their target messenger RNAs, thus blocking the translation of these transcripts into proteins. In a new study, Anne Catherine Eisfeld, Albert de la Chapelle, and their colleagues investigated how miR-3151 contributes to leukemia. Eisfeld and de la Chapelle spoke to me by telephone from The Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. On the phone with me are Anne Catherine Eisfeld and Albert de la Chapelle. Welcome, Anne Catherine. Welcome, Albert.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The genes that encode microRNAs are very small, and they're often nested within larger protein-coding genes. miR-3151 maps to an intron of a gene called BAALC. Both miR-3151 and BAALC have been associated with poor prognosis for patients with AML. In this paper, you set out to separate the functions of these two genes in leukemia. How do those genes contribute to AML?
Interestingly, even though both genes are associated with a poor prognosis in leukemia patients, as you said, only the microRNA was causing a faster growth and a higher aggressiveness of the cancer cells in our experiments we performed. And that was very stunning to us, as the host gene, BAALC, what we call BALC, has been studied since a long time, and the microRNA, miR-3151, was just recently discovered. But on the other hand, the discovery that miR-3151 was the actual bad guy makes absolute sense to us, since all attempts to find out what BALC does have failed so far.
So, historically speaking, the BALC gene was detected in this laboratory, and it very soon became clear that it was one of the best markers we had to predict the outcome in AML patients. And the more BALC we had, the worse was the prognosis. And we thought at that time that it would be a relatively easy job to figure out what underlies this phenomenon. And we studied it for year after year after year after year and never got anywhere. And we still don't know what BALC does or how it does it. So, in a certain sense, the MIR came in and salvaged the situation to some extent.
So it's the microRNA rather than BALC that appears to play the major role in AML.
Yes, for our experiments, what we can say is for sure that if we increase miR-3151 expression, the cancer grows faster, the leukemia cells grow faster, and we think that this is reflected also in the patient. If BALC has an effect or does not have an effect, we can't say for now with absolute security, but we can for sure say that miR-3151 has more effects on the leukemia cells.
Are the two genes co-regulated? Because the microRNA gene is within an intron of BALC, can one be expressed without the other?
Actually, both BALC and miR-3151 can be regulated independently of each other, even though miR-3151 really sits, as you said, inside the BALC transcript. And this is possible because miR-3151 is located in an intron, which is, of course, part of the gene, which does not get transcribed, and therefore will not later on be a part of the BALC gene. So in this intron of BALC, there is a promoter region, a regulatory element, to which certain proteins can bind, which then can cause higher expression of miR-3151. But that what is interesting is that the proteins that regulate MIA-3151 and BALC are very similar. And so almost the same proteins bind to both the regulatory element of the microRNA and to the regulatory element of the gene, BALC. And so even though they can be regulated independently, the majority of patients who have high expression of BALC will also have high expression of MIA-3151.
MicroRNAs function by shutting down the translation of specific target proteins. What are MIR-3151's targets?
MicroRNA 3151 is regulating the expression of one of the most well-known tumor suppressor genes, which encodes for the protein TP53. So TP53 is normally responsible for preventing autonomic growth of cells. So it controls cell death, and it watches over the correct phases of the cell cycle. And now, by downregulating the expression of TP53, MIA-3151 somehow shuts down an important member of the, I would call it, the cell police. And what makes it even more exciting is that we found that MIA-3151 does not only regulate TP53 itself, but also other genes which belong to the TP53-associated cell control pathway. And so this multiple action MIA-3151 does to the P53 pathway makes it even more potent in helping the cancer cells to survive and to escape from the normal mechanism which would usually kill the cancer cells early on.
So when there's not a lot of MIA-3151 around, the normal mechanisms of killing cells that have gone bad are still functioning.
Exactly. So our idea would be if we would shut down MIA-3151, we would be able to, at least in part, to activate the proteins which have been inactivated before and which then can reestablish the control of cell growth.
This thing with P53 is, of course, interesting because it is probably one of the most studied molecules in medicine due to its very strong effects when it comes to cell death and cell proliferation. So when P53 is damaged somehow, you don't get the cell destruction that you need in order to avoid cancer.
Given that P53-mediated apoptosis is important for protecting against the development of tumors, does MIR-3151 play a role in other types of cancer besides leukemia, or is it likely to?
We actually have indeed first evidence that MIA-3151 is not only important in leukemia, but it may also be important in skin cancer or malignant melanoma. And for us, this, I would call it rather preliminary finding, is especially exciting because melanoma is the most deadly skin cancer with a very poor survival of the patients suffering from it. And in some ways, this is true for acute myeloid leukemia as well. And secondly, one of the characteristics of melanoma is that it has very low expression levels of TP53. We know that this helps the cancer to grow so fast and so aggressive. So we have evidence that MIA-3151 is upregulated, has very high expression levels in melanoma cancer cells, and especially in a very aggressive subtype of BRAF-mutated melanomas. And we could also show that in the background of melanoma cells, MIA-3151 leads to a downregulation and inactivation of the tumor suppressor TP53. Therefore, we hope that by validating the axis of MIA-3151 in melanoma, we may have a first hint to explain in part why melanoma patients have lower TP53 expression levels.
Have you looked at MIR-3151 abundance in patient melanoma samples?
Yes, we did. We have a small cohort of 20 melanoma patients, and we determined the expression of MIR-3151. Actually, the first comparison we did is that we compared BRAF-mutated melanoma, which have a more aggressive phenotype, with BRAF wild-type melanoma. And we could see that the patients which had a BRAF mutation, had higher MIA-3151 expression levels. And then we could show when we increase MIA-3151 in melanoma cell lines, not in the patients, that we can decrease TP53 expression and that we can also thereby decrease apoptosis. But more importantly, we also found a way using an integromere, which is a molecule which degrades the mature microRNA. We can rescue this effect. So we can increase TP53 expression, and we can increase the cell death, thereby leading to the death of the melanoma cells.
And, of course, these findings are laboratory findings, and it may take quite some time before these can be translated into anything of major importance for the health of patients with these cancers.
But it's a necessary and important first step.
That's correct. And the next step is usually a mouse experiment, which is then followed by the first human experiment.
Anne Catherine, Albert, thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That was Anne Catherine Eisfeld and Albert de la Chapelle discussing a paper published in the April 15th issue of Science Signaling by Eisfeld and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any questions or comments, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.